Greetings, greetings, sisters and brothers of the human family, my sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to the Mind of God program on thinkaboutit.org. Today's recording date is December the 5th, Sunday, 2010. And on this program, the Mind of God program, we endeavor to organize for freedom, justice, and equality by leaving the mentality, the mindset of this wicked Babylon system of destruction of the human family, and climb into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, that we may stand up, fight, and organize for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, or revolutionary organization for the cause of freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. My beautiful sister Venice is my producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website. And you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. And as we always do, let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High. So we give praises to the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father is known and referred to as Abba. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. Also, in the African Arabic tradition, Father is known as Allah, A-L-L-A-H. Also giving praises to our wonderful and precious and beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, Mother, Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine, and given the feminine title of wisdom. In the African Hebrew language, that word for wisdom is chokmah. It is a feminine word denoting and referring to a feminine entity. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Only the female, the feminine, the mother conceives. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, collectively, our mother as well. The mother of creation, the mother of the universe as father, is father of creation, father of the universe. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, are Ruach HaKadosh. The word Ruach, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. That word Ruach, once again, is the word for spirit. It is feminine, denoting and referring to a feminine entity. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Illah, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And that word, Illah, is also an African Hebrew word, as Allah is also an African Hebrew word. And our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illa Illa Ha'il Allah. And you hear Illah, and you also hear Allah in the Islamic phrase, because the Almighty Mother, the Holy Spirit, and the Almighty Father have come together out of the Spirit of love to give birth to the universe, the creation, the human family. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. Sisters and brothers, I greet you in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie I, Rastafari I, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah Rastafari, Haile Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested in your and my personalities, collectively our personalities, thereby making your, my, and our names the new names of Jesus Christ in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days Christ would make his return. And Christ would make his return in the revolutionaries, those who would resurrect and rise up and raise up that spirit of Christ. And we, as the body of Christ, would get up and stand up and advocate for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And we would overturn that wicked Babylon system, the ruling class and ruling families, because all of us are divine manifestations of divinity living in this divine universe, this divine creation in divine physical flesh, on this divine physical realm, on this divine physical earth. And so when we realize these things, we will get up and do the work of Christ. Now, we're yet in the book of Revelation. We're going to start off with current affairs, current events, news headlines, then go into the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. But as we cover, firstly, these current affairs and events, we're doing this with the mind of Christ. We're doing this with the revelation of Christ. The word revelation, coming from the Greek apokalyptos, which gives us our word apocalypse, which together with revelation means to remove falsehood. The falsehood of the wicked system that destroys the human family and uncover the truth behind the system, this wicked Babylon system that destroys the human family. So, these headlines are basically taken from Democracy Now!, the week of December the 5th, the week of November the 29th, spilling over into the 1st of December, and basically the same period of time for flashpoints. And I will have this in my summary. So, we know that President Obama commissioned a deficit commission. He organized a deficit commission to hold hearings and give their recommendations to solve the problem of America's deficit and economic problems and so on. Now, sisters and brothers, we have been saying that the national discourse has moved so far to the right. You look at the Democratic Party and you see that the Democratic Party is not holding to their platform, their philosophical platform, and that most of your Democrats sound like Republicans, because the controller, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, have taken our national discourse far away from the left, far away from human rights and civil rights and revolution, and taken it so far to the right, which is the philosophy of the destruction of the human family, the theft of land, wealth, and resources. So the recommendations that have come out of this deficit commission are recommendations that squeeze the middle class, squeeze the poor class, and hold up and continue to help the wealthy class, the banks, Wall Street, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers. Now, another program called Letters to Washington, I have it in my summary. Letters to Washington on KPFA, hosted by Mitch Jezerich. He did an interview with, or he interviewed Richard Wolff, Professor Emeritus of Economics at the University of Massachusetts. And I learned some information from that program, and also I learned some information, let me see if I can find it, from Democracy Now. Let's see. I think that program on Democracy Now was December 2nd. Letters to Washington, I believe, was December 1st. I'll have that in my summary. But Amy Goodman interviewed Jacob Hacker, Yale University professor and co-author of a new book, Winner Take All Politics, How Washington Made the Rich Richer and Turned His Back on the Middle Class. Now, collectively, from both of these programs, we learned that the top wealthiest 1% in the 1970s, America's top wealthiest 1% were individually taxed at 90%. And that 90% beginning after $250,000. So America's wealthiest 1% were not taxed their first $250,000 of their income, but thereafter they were individually taxed at 90%. Now, when Ronald Reagan came into office in the 80s, that individual tax rate above $250,000 on America's wealthiest 1% dropped, and eventually dropped to 34%. You see, in those days, the wealthy class and the corporations, the wealthy corporations, and I believe also we would say the banks and Wall Street, they had the tax burden. The burden of taxes was not on the middle and poor class. That burden was on the wealthy, where it should be, because the wealthy have everything. Now, we are thrown off because many would argue, but the wealthy collectively pay 70% of the taxes in America. But this is to throw you off. You see, the top wealthy 1%, 5%, and 10% control anywhere from 70 to over 90% of America's wealth. Now, if you have a class that collectively control or in control of 70 to 90% of all of the wealth of America, then certainly because the other 90% have nothing, are dealing with 30 to 10% have nothing in comparison with the wealthiest 1%. The 90% have nothing to pay in taxes. So collectively, the top 1, 5, and 10% would have everything, and so they collectively make up 70% of America's tax payments. But that's to throw you off. Individually, the tax rate used to be 90% above $250,000, but now it has shrunk to 34%. I have also heard 16% and 10%. This teaches us that the masses of the citizens of America have been robbed of their wealth, and the tax burden has shifted to the poor and the middle class. And we wonder why America is in the position that it is in. The recommendation from the Deficit Commission talked about whether to extend Bush's tax breaks for the wealthy or not extended. The Republicans are using rhetoric to cause us to think that if you extend taxes on anybody in this time period, it is bad. No, it's not. You extend the tax breaks on the middle class and poor class, give us a break. But you do not extend it on the wealthiest 1, 5, and 10%. The tax burden must shift back to the top 1, 5, and 10%. As well, when you study the derivatives market and study all the monies being made by Wall Street and the banks, what if we got together and organized and forced the law to change so that all those monies being made in the derivatives market, tax that money. That money is not being taxed. Wall Street is not being taxed. The multinational corporations, they're not being taxed. They are the true welfare recipients, not the masses of America's citizens, the poor class and the underclass. An example was given on one of these programs. I believe that was the example on the letters to Washington. What if you take the wealthiest 1%, all of them have $1 million portfolios, at least $1 million in stocks and bonds, tax that money's 15%. That would eliminate America's deficit, so said Richard Wolff. See, the point we're making is that the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Federal Reserve, Wall Street, the banks, the multinational corporations, the top 1, 5, and 10% wealthiest of America have taken our wealth, stolen our wealth, hijacked our wealth. And it has gotten so bad, my own pastor even said that today. We need to, and I'm saying, that we need to collectively come together and force the banks, force Wall Street to give us our wealth back. We have God. We have the power if we would have the mind. Pausing now to say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to the Mind of God program. ThinkAboutIt.org, December the 5th, 2010. Sunday is the recording date. Now, moving on. WikiLeaks. And these headlines are taken from Democracy Now! And Flashpoints. WikiLeaks. Professor, hold it. Let me move on. Yeah, WikiLeaks. United States facing global diplomatic crisis following massive WikiLeaks release of secret diplomatic cables. Let's see. WikiLeaks is releasing a giant trove of confidential United States diplomatic cables that that is sending shockwaves through the global diplomatic establishment. Among the findings, Arab leaders are urging the United States to attack Iran. Now let me pause here, see how far I get. Now, WikiLeaks is revealing a whole lot of truth concerning the wickedness of the government of America and their friends, meaning Britain, Europe, and so on. Now, many of us may be shocked that Arab leaders, or Arab, we say prime ministers and presidents, would urge the United States to attack Iran. But if you studied this situation, you know that America has allegiance with mainly Sunni-led nations. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Damascus, Kuwait. These are mainly Sunni-led nations that are allowing themselves to divide or be divided from Shia-led nations. Now we know that the religions, the denominations of religions are a smokescreen, an obfuscation of the reality being that it is all about land, wealth, and resources. So nations like Saudi Arabia, not the masses of the people, but the leadership, the Saudi royal family, are working with America, with the Bushes, with the Obama administration, with the Wall Street, the banks, Rothschilds, and so on, to urge an attack on Iran, with the claim being that Iran has nuclear weapons. First of all, America has nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. Their friends have nuclear weapons. America is the only one that has used them on a great number of people, being the Japanese sisters and brothers. So it's hypocritical to deny nuclear knowledge to any nation when you have it. But beyond that, these are lies, just like with Iraq. No weapons of mass destruction, only an excuse to destroy and kill a portion of the human family for land, wealth, and resources. So the royal house of Saudi Arabia, using Islam, you go to Arabia on your pilgrimage, all of those pilgrims make a lot of money, generate a lot of wealth and money for the royal family of Saudi Arabia. The royal family of Saudi Arabia, along with Israel, along with European Christians, they are all a part of the synagogue of Satan. And you'll hear that more as we continue in Revelation. Washington and Yemen agreed to cover up the use of United States warplanes to bomb Yemen. America's been bombing in Yemen, and they convinced the government of Yemen to say that it was Yemen's own planes, but in reality, it was the government of America that was bombing and is yet bombing Yemen for land, wealth, and resources. Also, the United States is using its embassies around the world as part of a global spy network and asking diplomats to gather intelligence. Look at the wickedness of this government. Noam Chomsky, one of our great leftist philosophers, talks about how the cables reveal a profound hatred for democracy on the part of our political leadership. And he talks about how America, the State Department, Hillary Clinton, is using these cables that have been released by WikiLeaks to falsely claim that the opinions of Arab people are against Iran and that the Arab people want Iran to be attacked. But that is a lie. Arab opinion holds that this is Noam Chomsky refuting the lie being perpetrated by the State Department and Hillary Clinton. He says, Chomsky says, the latest polls show that Arab opinion holds that the major threat in the region is Israel. 80% of the Arab people say that Israel is the threat and that the United States is a threat. That's 77% say that the United States is the real threat, not Iran. Only 10% of the population of the Arab people believe that Iran is the threat. But see, even though WikiLeaks is revealing truths, the State Department, the Obama administration, is looking to see how to spin these cables that have been leaked in their own favor to maneuver us yet into destroying another portion of the precious human family. But NOM is saying that America does not like democracy. When people rise up and exercise democratic will, if America doesn't like the leader that has been democratically elected, America moves against that leader. And NOM is right. The leaked cables reveal the United States pressured Spain to drop the case of a cameraman killed in 2003 attack on journalists in Baghdad. Recall, in 2003, when the Obama administration began the attack in Iraq, which was illegal, immoral, against international law, they opened fire on a hotel that housed journalists. And everyone knew that this hotel housed journalists. A cameraman was killed in this attack of America on this hotel that was housing journalists in Baghdad. And the United States, these leaked cables reveal that the United States pressured Spain to drop the case of the cameraman that was killed in the 2003 attack. Just wickedness. WikiLeaks cables reveal that the United States tried to thwart Spanish probes into Gitmo torture and CIA rendition. America does not want anyone to investigate the reality that they have been and are committing torturous acts on members of the human family. Under the Obama administration, this is yet continuing, yet occurring. Will we stand? The United Nations Special Rapporteur Juan Mendez says that instead of focusing on Assange, the United States should address WikiLeaks' disclosure of torture. Mendez recommends that the United States investigate the reality of torture that have been committed in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo. He calls on the United States to investigate and prosecute torture committed under former President George W. Bush. He says he hopes that Iraq and Guantanamo Bay, that those situations will be probed, the widespread torture allegations. But instead, you hear the United States focusing on Assange rather than focusing on investigating torture that has occurred under Bush and also under Obama. The Obama administration has refused to investigate Bush, Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and all of those in the Bush administration that implemented the construct of torture to destroy the human family and claim falsely that it was because of fighting terrorism, when we know that it is America, it is the military of America, it is Wall Street, it is the banks, it is the Rothschilds who are the real terrorists on the planet. And Obama refuses to do that investigation because the Obama administration is doing the same. Jeremy Scahill talks about how the WikiLeaks cables confirm secret United States war operations in Pakistan. Just all of this killing and destruction of the human family. Not fighting terrorism, but to steal and thieve land, wealth, and resources. On Flashpoints, they talk about how the WikiLeaks talks about Latin America. and how the United States has been collecting biometric data on Paraguayan presidential candidates, organizing an anti-Chavez campaign in Venezuela. Now, let me pause on that one. What America has done is they will pay a few people in Venezuela to hold demonstrations and falsely claim that this is a people's uprising against Chavez, when this in reality is these are groups that have been paid by the United States to act as agents and infiltrators in Venezuela to falsely claim a rising up of the people so that America can justify in reality funding and financing a coup and an overthrow. Further, the United States' assistance in assisting Brazilian police illegally spying on and setting up citizens of Arab descent in Brazil on trumped up charges, as well as secret United States support for the coup government in Honduras. All of this going on and yet going on under the Obama administration, as the coup that occurred in 2009, 2010, that time period, occurred under the Obama administration. And the Obama administration refused to publicly say that this was a coup, because to say so on paper would obligate America into disconnecting their support of those involved in the coup in Honduras. The Obama administration supporting the coup in Honduras. And that president, I think it's Zelayas, I think that's his name, is yet deposed and out of office, living out, I don't know if it's Colombia, but living somewhere else in South America. Coming to the domestic scene, leaving WikiLeaks for a while, coming to the domestic scene. The Federal Communications Commission is being accused of abandoning net neutrality rules that would ensure a free and open internet on Wednesday, which was December the 1st, 2010. FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski unveiled proposals that would allow internet service providers to charge higher fees for faster access to online content. What is going on is that the internet has made the field even. Anyone can put up information on the internet just as quickly as CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. Those that I just named, put out lies. They're in the control of the CIA. Not that there are not others who are not affiliated or are part of those organizations that are not also affiliated with the CIA, but others like ourselves who want truth to come to the people, have websites, all manner of wonderful information getting out to the people. And this information is checking ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, CNN, checking them and causing us to see the real information and see that those that I have just named are telling lies. Well, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Illuminati Masonic Order, the ruling class and families of America, Europe, and Israel do not want that. So they are pushing the FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski to propose that the internet be split into different echelons, different levels. Certain folk on the internet, groups such as MSNBC, those in the power structure, will have or be able to give their content faster to the people. Others like ourselves, like KPFA, Democracy Now, will not have access to getting the information out as quickly as can be. Right now, it's all even. And so we see that these wicked forces have come together to try to squash the truth. But we're coming with the mind of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that causes us to see the truth. Remove the falsehood to see the truth. Now, David D. of Hard Knock Radio has been hard on this issue. And I'm going to put his website up and a program that was aired on Hard Knock Radio on KPFA, in which he dealt with that. And the young lady he talked to gave marching orders concerning this issue. And we're going to have to try to organize and come together to make sure that the internet remains free, free of such restrictions, so that we can get truth out to the people as quickly as ABC, CBS, and NBC can get out falsehood, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. As quickly as they can get out falsehood, we want to get out the truth so that we can have a fighter's chance in getting the information out to the people. Let's see what I can cover in the next couple of minutes. Settlements approved for Native Americans and African American farmers. The Senate has unanimously approved two multi-billion dollar settlements to resolve long-standing lawsuits over the mismanagement of Native American land trusts dating back to the 19th century, which would be the 1800s, and discrimination complaints filed by African American farmers against the United States Department of Agriculture. Some $3.4 billion will be paid out to more than 300,000 Native Americans to settle claims over unpaid royalties on seized lands, illegally seized lands. Black farmers will receive just more than $1.1 billion. This revolutionary movement is going to have to encompass all, whether it's agriculture, whether it's the economy, whether it's the ecosystem, the Native American plight, the black man and woman, our plight. All of us are sisters and brothers, and this is pump money compared to what was done to the Native Americans and what was done to black folk kidnapped from Africa. So this is not a real settlement. It's a little piece, and every penny that the sisters and brothers get, Native American and black farmers get, is deserved. But this is pump money, and we're going to have to organize on behalf of ourselves to get real justice, the kingdom of God in heaven on this earth. 22 arrested at protest outside School of the Americas. In Georgia, thousands of people protested Saturday outside the gates of Fort Benning to call for the closure of the Military Training Center, formerly known as the School of the Americas. This so-called school that has trained despots and wicked leaders in Africa, in Asia, in Central and South America, all over the earth. There was a protest held sometime in November. This is old news now, but in November, and 22 were arrested. Let's keep up on that issue. And we're going to pause now, and I will see you on the other side of the break.